strategies with cutting-edge technology. Also, a thank you to Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. Bruce Jenkins Insurance, that retirement advisor offering Medicare assistance. Oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. Amongst all of our listeners, thank you. And Rafiki?
Yes?
Tell the listeners ways to make a difference, not just KZFR.org.
Well, I'll tell you what, the ways to make a difference is, making a donation,
How do we do that?
Yeah, how do we do that? I'll tell you what. You can go to KZFR.org. You can go to Pledge KZFR 244321, Venmo at KZFR901, or you can call 530-895-0131.
And the good old-fashioned way? You can mail it through the Pony Express.
Oh, you can definitely mail it to 341 Broadway, Chico, California, 95928.
Suite 411. Yes. We are here up on the top floor, and just like Sanjay says, all six walls are shaking.
That's right. We're like
Let's
eagles.
Let's keep them shaking.
We're like eagles. We're on the top floor. Hey, we're overlooking everything. We're on the perch.
33 years strong. Let's keep it up, my friends.
And I've got about 9 or 10 of those myself.
Oh, yay.
Can you imagine that? Yes. I think this year would be my 10th year.
I know. You weren't there for the meeting on Sunday. James. He's going high tech with the Venmo.
No Pony Express
for him. Thank you, James.
James, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
him. Yeah, and Scott.
Especially towards the end of my show, Scott, you're the man.
That's how you put a smile on both of us as we're leaving out the
right.
door.
Yeah.
Because we are not just music. I mean, you can go to KZFR.org. You can see all of our genres during the day. What comes up at 5?
What comes up at 5 is Thursday Up the Road, followed by North State Local Voices, and then Fresh Hop Cinema.
I got to meet Up the Road. On the meeting. You weren't there for the meeting.
No,
it was really
not.
Nice to get to see these people, these faces. I mean, 29 years. I've only been here since 2016.
Well, see, you weren't at the one at the at the library.
No, well, I was the one at the library last week, Sunday or something like that.
That was about last month, I think it was. Month before last, I think it was.
I wasn't at that one.
No, you weren't at that one.
We were flippity-floppity
exactly,
here.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Getting to meet these people that have been part of this people-powered radio for years.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And I'm thankful. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to cry on the air. I'm going to save that for next Thursday.
Well, you see some old school folks,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been picking out my records all since last week.
Yes.
When it was my turn on Funky Reservations, I always do it the day of. I wake up real early. I get some coffee in me, do the dishes, listen to some records, and then I start playing because it's fresh in my brain.
Yeah.
And a lot of the songs, I was like, nope, saving it for Pledge Drive. So I'm excited.
Yes, I do mine the night of, up until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Hootie hoo.
That's when my brain is working.
The white owls burn slow,
exactly,
right, my friend?
Exactly. Yeah, you know it.
Well, I'm here next week, so
okay,
stop in and come rally the troops with me.
I'll definitely do so. I'm working in town next week, as a matter of fact, so I'm not on the road. So yeah, I'll definitely come in early.
Good.
Yeah,
definitely. And I want you to bring that one record. That surprise record.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to blow the socks off of everybody.
Good thing I'm wearing flip-flops.
I hope so.
Well, thank you for letting me come on.
Hey, you know what?
Thank you, listeners, for letting me be here with Rafiki.
Hey, she's not just here with Rafiki. Hey, she is part of the establishment here of Funky Reservations. So, you know what? Don't let her feed you that.
No. And then Saturday night, I won't be doing my show, Electronic Phonics. I will be bartending at the Chico Women's Club for Smokey the Groove and Boot Juice.
Oh, sounds good.
So you can get your tickets at the door, the Chico, the Music Connection, or just go to KZFR.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool. So, hey, we're going to sign out. I got to go. We got Thursday Up the Road coming up, followed by North State Local Voices and Fresh Hop Cinema. So I'm saying goodbye to you folks, and thank you for the donations.
I'm here saying goodbye.
Yes. Adios.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image.
This This is Up the Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. Tell someone you're going for a hike. They often assume you're heading off to the mountains, maybe the coast. But California's deserts offer sublime hiking, just not in the summer. This week, we'll stride off on some fine hikes, many suitable for families. Well-prepared families, meaning bring plenty of water, more than you think you'll need, both bottles and a full hydration bladder in everyone's day pack. Also suitable clothes, including hiking shoes. And dress in layers because weather is fickle. Protect yourself from the sun with hat, sunglasses, good sunscreen, and hike either early or late in the day. Also, know likely dangers and how to avoid them, from flash floods and heat stroke to wildlife, as in watch what you grab and where you sit or step to avoid rattlesnakes. In winters with extreme weather and high snow and rainfall, we're looking at you, 2023. Check on conditions and road closures before setting out. Getting stuck in the mud of a typically dry lake bed, miles from help or cell service, or snowed in the Mojave Desert high country, not fun. The desert's national parks and monuments offer world-class hiking, so yes, hoof it through Death Valley. November through March is usually best. And yes, make time for exploring the old roads, trails, and other attractions of Joshua Tree, where the Colorado and Mojave deserts meet. Not to mention Mojave National Preserve and Mojave Trails National Monument. Also prime for winter hiking is immense Anza-Borrego Desert State Park, where you can actually hike two stretches of the 1775-76 route through New Spain and on to San Francisco. What is now the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail, still a work in progress. But Palm Springs may be the ultimate winter hiking destination. According to Coachella Valley hiking guide author Philip Ferranti, the Palm Springs area offers more hiking trails, 140 plus, and more trail miles, 1,250 and climbing, than anywhere else in the continental U.S. The valley is fringed by high peaks from seven separate mountain ranges and veined with earthquake faults because the North American and Pacific tectonic plates meet up right here. The result is countless canyons, sweet water oases, and stunning views. Another surprise is being able to zip from sea level to snow-dusted peaks within minutes while taking in a 360-degree view. Thanks to the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, the world's largest rotating tram. So here, almost uniquely, you can take a desert hike in the morning and then, within minutes, snowshoe through the pines. Practically in Palm Springs are Taquites Canyon and the three Indian canyons owned by the Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians. Superb for hiking. Palm Canyon alone, the world's largest preserve of native fan palms, protects more than 3,000 of them. Start with Palm Canyon's 6-mile round trip to the stone pools. Riparian areas are lush, along with waterfalls and pools, not what most people expect in the middle of the desert. You'll take in spectacular high desert, canyon, and city views. The Agua Caliente Band, known for singing the birds, a unique storytelling tradition, is quite prominent in Palm Springs community life. Before or after a hike, check out the tribe's new cultural museum downtown. 10,000 square feet of educational exhibits and welcoming outdoor public spaces, set to open in 2023. Inside, the 360-degree animation theater shares the Cahuilla creation story. Think of the multidimensional experience as virtual reality without the headset. An in-depth introduction to Indian canyons follows, and then explorations of Cahuilla arts and material culture. A linear timeline and review of area settlement history comes next, followed by archaeological exhibits, and lastly, contemporary tribal voices, telling the tale the way tribal members want it told. Another favorite destination, off the usual tourist trail, is the last natural, virtually untouched watershed in the Coachella Valley, the Coachella Valley Preserve in the Indio Hills. Come for hiking, horseback riding, BYO equines, bird watching, and just general outdoor appreciation. Spring is the time for wildflowers. Spring and fall, watching for migratory birds. Or take a mule-drawn covered wagon tour. These wagons have rubber tires, thank heavens. With or without the chuck wagon dinner, s'mores, and cowboy songs around a campfire. Whenever and however you come, absolutely no dogs, because this is a refuge for beleaguered area wildlife. And don't even think about leaving pets in the car. The preserve's Thousand Palms Oasis protects another of our largest groves of California fan palms, the state's only native palm, please note. Here, you can also personally engage the California earthquake story. Thousand Palms and other area oases exist due to slippage of the San Andreas Fault, which bisects the entire Colorado desert. Here's a hike. 5 different palm oases, Macumber, Biskra, Pushawala, Hidden, and Horseshoe, lie within nearby 2,200-acre Indio Hills Palms Wilderness. Steep canyon lands strung together by trails that casually crisscross the fault. Whoa, wait, did you feel that? Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road. Wait, one more thing. We've talked before about how travel benefits us all, makes us better people. How, here in Northern California, spending travel dollars locally supports healthy economies, supports community. I think the same goes for supporting true community radio. So come on, pony up. Give what you can right now to KZFR. Don't you feel better already?
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525.
Voices, I'm going to interview Bob Trausch. Bob Trausch actually is a very dear, dear friend of mine, and he and I have worked together on a number of projects, and we're going to talk about a project that we worked together on, and then he's going to talk a little bit about CHAT. And if you don't know what CHAT is, that is Chico Housing Action Team. But first, we're going to tell you about our event, because it's coming right up, and we'll tell you kind of how that has all come about, and then talk a little bit more.
Yes, thanks, Bobby. Yeah, many years ago, with the Peace Center, we started Pancakes for Peace. And for many years, I think it was 37 years that we did that, where I was involved.
You were, yeah.
Involved for 37 years with that. Every year on Easter Sunday, we'd have an egg hunt, we'd have organic food. It was a wonderful, wonderful event for the community. The community loved it, and they still do. And we had lots and lots of kids coming out. One year, we had an Easter Bunny out there, and we're going to do that again this year. We're going to have an Easter Bunny. So about 2 years ago, or actually 3 years ago, we started somewhere not at
Card Center,
and we had a Pancakes for CHAT. And it was a very successful event. And actually new people came to that, not so many kids, because we didn't. It was not exactly the same function. And then we moved back last year.
This is our second year at the Card Center, coming back.
Right. And so the same thing is going to happen again. We're going to have organic food. We're going to have a beautiful egg hunt. Our goal is to give, right? We want to give back to the community. So the egg hunt, all these kids get out there. They go different ages, different time to go out and collect eggs. And we're out there making sure that the kids that get a lot, maybe the older kids, give some to the younger kids. And then I have big baskets out there. We have big baskets. And at the end, we say, how many kids are going to eat all these eggs? And then we gather just dozens and dozens of eggs, and we take them to the Jesus Center, the Torah shelter, that turns into food. Yes. And so the kids actually get a lesson out of going and
exactly.
getting eggs.
It is.
So this year, again, starting at 8 o'clock, we would not, like everybody in this community that knows chat and wants to support what we do, come to the Easter egg hunt, come to our breakfast with chat, and enjoy wonderful food, amazing people. There's so many people there that care about this community and come to give. And
yes.
also enjoy each other.
Each other.
It's just really fun.
And I'm just going to tag on to that so that you really know what you're getting into when you get there. all the pancakes that you can eat.
And real maple syrup.
It's fresh ground, whole wheat pancakes, but they're not heavy. They're light. There's corn cakes if you can't have wheat. We are serving sausage and scrambled eggs and a little bit of fruit, coffee, juice. All of that, pancakes, all you can eat so that you can, you know, bring your teenage son. And there's a silent auction there. The event is it's sort of more than just a fundraiser. It is a community gathering.
It's an event. Many of the things that Chad does are events. Certainly we raise money out of it, but our goal is to meet people and
yes.
have a relationship with people. And this is certainly one of those where we have, you know, 400 or 500 people come and that morning from 8 to 12
yeah.
eating our food, meeting each other, and helping Chad help this community be
yes.
healthy.
Yeah. And just so for years, we had done it, and it was called Pancakes for Peace. And a lot of people in the community know it as that. We do not have the Peace Center any longer. So we, who were the people involved that made Pancakes for Peace happen, we also are the ones that are making Pancakes for Chat. So if you remember one of those events, you know that they're great.
Right.
So, yep.
And it's Pancakes for Chat. And
yep.
come and enjoy amazing food. Bobby's in there. You know how she sweats. She's working her butt off.
Where are
they? Bring them on.
You got enough. And then we've added the scrambled eggs and the sausage. So we hope we appeal to everybody.
We even have corn pancakes and vegan pancakes.
And it starts at 8 and we're done at noon.
That's right.
Now that I got you here, Bob, I want people to kind of hear a little bit more about chat. Sometimes when I go around town, I honestly know that people don't know what chat is. Sometimes young adults that I'll go and, hey, we're having this event, it's for chat, and they don't know what it is. So let's have a little bit of history about it, kind of where you got rolling and where you are today, which is pretty amazing.
Well, for me, there's two parts. When we first started chat, first of all, we started Safe Space, right? And that was the beginning of us. And I'll talk about that. But when we started chat, the reason I pushed to not talk about chat and where the homes were, because we had to establish that we were doing a good job. And if somebody found out about a home, we had 1.36 people go to the city and say, get these homeless people out of there. And I had to say, they're not homeless. They're paying rent. They're house people. And
yes.
you can't do this. And the city actually backed us up.
Yeah.
So that was why for a long time we didn't make noise about chat, because we wanted to slowly move into the city, slowly move into houses.
Right.
But we started actually with Safe Space, and that started with Dan Everhart. We had a really cold spell, super cold, down to like 17 degrees, and we thought, man, we got to get people off the street. We can't wait to start building houses or renting houses. We got to get people off the street. So we moved people into. We asked the board of the Peace Center at that point, when some of us were on it, and open up the Peace Center. And we did. We had 37 people in that little space sleeping on the floor. One woman rolled in with a cart with two little dogs in it. Another guy with serious mental illness, untreated. But it was a lesson for me. Came in with a baby German Shepherd that had all the shots. It was just that dog was taken better care of than
yes.
him. So that started kind of our Safe Space, where we realized we could get people off the street. From there, we went to the Jesus Center. Different person was running it at that point. And so we stayed there for some time. And then that was the end of that. But we realized, wait, we can get some churches maybe, and more churches. And we did that. So we got churches, about 12 of them, to let us stay for different periods of time on their floors. And so we'd bring people in at 6 or 7. We'd feed them, have a nice place to sleep. Some of the churches even had showers. And then in the morning, people would have to go back out in the street. We didn't want them to go back on the street, but that had to happen.
Right.
That was a way of safe. And Safe Space is still an amazing organization that after 4 years, some of us, more specifically, mostly three of us, spun that off and said, you know, hey, guys, take that over. We're doing a great job. We have to start building houses or renting houses. And we've done that successfully from three volunteers, basically, and certainly other volunteers joining us, but three principals that were put into the Sheldon Prazer, my wife Leslie Johnson, and myself were the main people behind making it happen. Since that point, there's been a tremendous growth in Chad. It's just been amazing. From our first house in September of 2017 till now, from what we started with, we now have around 100 houses in this town, anywhere from a 6-bedroom down to a 1-bedroom. Most of them are 3 and 4 bedrooms. We've gotten grants. Just recently, we got a grant for $600,000 from the veterans because we have veteran houses.
Sure.
And they liked what we were doing. So we were able to buy 2 4-bedroom houses and put in more, eight more veterans off the street. And we now, I just got a call. We're looking at another house we're going to get for veterans. So chat. The unique thing about CHAT, if people don't understand, is we are solution-based. We see a problem. We don't argue about it. We don't blame anybody. We say, okay, how can we fix this? So CHAT has ended up with many different programs.
Yeah.
It's not just housing one population. We started housing men. And, you know, and it was through Safe Space. We started housing men at Safe Space. And then the next year, we had some women because it actually was a safe space for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then some women with kids and then couples with kids. Mm-hmm. And so then we'd kind of isolate people in the churches. But it became a space where we started more and more of the population of homeless were trusting CHAT to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had that name, it was still a safe space. And so we learned a lot about the people on the street and we found out many of them had some income.
Yes.
And so I can't spend all my money. I work hard. So if we could get, if we can get somebody to pay rent and we have 4 people in a 4-bedroom house and each one pays for that bedroom, they can afford to live there and be successful. And then we started CHAT, the organization that actually rents houses and houses people. Then we started with men, and then men and women, if they wanted to be in a house. Then some people wanted to have houses that were drug-free or alcohol-free, so we created them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw, wow, there's a lot of couples out there and women out there that are in crisis. So then we started a program for those people and started having people, houses for people, and a different type of a program. That program, we moved people in and we brought in staff to get them successful, tried to get them jobs, tried to get them into school, helped them with their kids, and then move them on to other permanent. We consider CHAT permanent housing, but other permanent housing out of CHAT where they could be successful. Help them get licenses, all the things that people lose when they have trauma in their life.
Exactly.
Then we saw students. I saw literally students living in tents.
Mm-hmm.
I had one actually on KCFR about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A mom and a dad and a kid living in a tent. The kid was willing to tell his story about how ashamed he was. He had to rush to school, get a shower, didn't want people to know he's living on the street. But he was willing to talk about that, which was so important for him to be able to own up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed his life. That couple now are both employed. The son is in college. He was 12 years old at the time. And the father is going to college and a full-time job. The mom is a full-time job. So very successful.
Yes.
We had another woman. 19 months, she was living in a vehicle, took the back seat out. Her and her 9-year-old daughter were sleeping in the vehicle, right? She's going to college full time by light, sneaking her daughter in to get a shower, daughter taking her daughter to school, living in the car 19 months. We got her in a house. She just graduated with a master's degree, right? So those are the things that can happen. We have another man on our board that came out of prison. right? He is now finishing his thesis for his master's degree because he talks about it. He says, if I hadn't had, I get out of jail or prison, where do I go? I sleep on the street. Recidivism is very, high.
Uh-huh,
what do I do? I can't get a job. You guys gave me a place to live, made me feel safe and secure, and it didn't make me feel like a criminal, and it changed my life. And he'll tell you about it. Now he's on our board. So those are the kinds of things that we do. Then we had the veterans, right? So we got many veterans off our street. Then we found out there's some people living on the street that are mentally sick, physically sick. Their operations, they have cancer. They're on our streets. So we started a mercy program. And that mercy program brings church into it. We brought a church into it. So we have two houses for mercy people. They have church assigned to help those people. They're in wheelchairs, or maybe, like I say, they have to go for cancer treatments, or maybe they have heart disease. And so that's how we've been working over and over. We look for a population. We say, what kind of a solution can we figure out for these people? And Chad has been incredibly successful at doing that. We now have just started a house for youth that are challenged. They're on our streets. They have no place to go. They don't trust adults. So our program is a little bit different with them. What we're doing with them, we're going to pay for their rent for a year while we get them education, while we get them help. We help them get jobs. So they have 1 year where we work intensely with them, and then we get them into permanent housing and hopefully school or house, a job. So this continues. We continue to look at different populations. We also have a warehouse where we supply people that are on the street. And not, as it turns out, just our people, because we get called from Gridley. We get called from Oroville. We get called all over the place. We deliver furniture. We washers, dryers, fridges, microwaves, whatever they need, clothing, bedding, to get people started. And now then we started a food program. So now we get more food, I think, than the university does. Some of the stuff that's donated to us, we actually give to the Chico State and Dubuque College food programs. We get so much. And so we have become this unbelievable organization that is feeding other organizations in this community because of the success. Now, in the beginning, all of that was done by volunteers in those houses every week, meeting with people, working with them. Slowly but surely, we started hiring people because we were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? We also have a program that started with people, the 56,000 people that got burned out in Paradise, right?
Yeah.
And then another 12,000 at second fire, and then 7,000 at third. So we have almost half the population of Butte County has had some form disaster, right? So we started housing them, and we did a little bit different. We got a grant for that. And the grant works like this. We give the landlord $500 right up front, ahead of the first, last, and security they're going to get. $500 right up front. We take $5,000 and we put it in the bank and say, if anything happens, including having to evict, we'll be there for you. But you signed a lease and let this person start building his credit or her credit back up again. Yeah. So they get into a house. They signed the lease. We're not on that lease.
Yeah,
they are starting to build themselves back up that way because of what's happened to them.
Yeah,
I have found personally that people that have been broken like that, the things in their life that has ended up them being on the street are a myriad. We don't know all of them. Sure. They've shared a lot, with me. I know a lot of people and they've shared. But what I have found that they don't trust society any longer. They don't even trust themselves. So our goal, our life's work, is to get them to trust us.
Yeah.
When they trust that we're not going away, that's when their healing starts.
Yeah.
That's when they start healing and start building confidence in themselves again and trust in society that it's there for them. And it's so very, very important that we as an organization know that our job is just that, to instill confidence. Hey, guys, we're here. Hey, gals, we're here. Hey, family, we're here.
Yeah.
We're going to make it better.
Exactly.
We're not going to go away.
Exactly.
And then what happens with that trust is somebody's having a hard time in the house. I got a call. Bob, I think this has happened. I think that. And so we can respond quickly to that.
Yes.
Right? And get ahead of it before it becomes a problem and help that person with whatever they're going through. Which, again, lends itself to more success and more people stay in house.
Exactly.
So that's
a big one. The part that people may not realize is that
you find people who do have a little Social Security, exactly. a little something here. They put their money together. And that seems to be kind of the way it almost has to be. Rent is so high.
And rent, the way the rent is right now, when we started, our first houses, 300 bedroom, 350 bedroom.
Yeah.
We're getting right. houses right now.